You're listening to the news from the BBC in London. The former Soviet reformist leader Mikhail Gorbachev has joined those expressing sorrow at the death of the former United States President Ronald Reagan, who's died at the age of 93. Mr. Gorbachev praised him for making possible the dialogue that helped to end the Cold War, a sentiment echoed by the former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. President Bush said Ronald Reagan had left behind a world he helped to save. Rob Watson reports from Washington.
Across this vast country, flags have been lowered to half-mast as Americans remember this most popular of presidents. From both his political allies and opponents, the tributes keep coming. Former President Bill Clinton said Ronald Reagan personified the indomitable optimism of the American people, while the first President Bush praised his humor and his kindness. The country is now preparing to give him a grand farewell. It's expected that his body will be flown to Washington later this week, where he will lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda, an honor extended to only 10 previous presidents.
Americans are today mourning the death of former President Ronald Reagan, while tributes have been paid to his leadership by friends and former foes. Mr. Reagan died at his home in California at the age of 93 after suffering from Alzheimer's disease for the past decade. He served two terms as U.S. president during the Cold War and the eventual demise of the former Soviet Union. George Bush has called his death a sad hour in the life of America. And speaking of the D-Day ceremonies in northern France, he recalled Ronald Reagan attending a similar occasion in 1984.
20 summers ago, and another American president came here to Normandy to pay tribute to the men of D-Day. He was a courageous man himself and a gallant leader in the cause of freedom. And today we honor the memory of Ronald Reagan.
The man who was nicknamed the Great Communicator was being fondly remembered by Americans across the country.
What a life. What a life this man had. He came to Hollywood, he wanted to be a star, one in a million, and he did it. And then he was the President of the United States, and he did it.
You could count on whatever he said. So he was a very strong president, and he made us very proud.
I was pretty surprised, actually. I guess we're always surprised when somebody we've lived with so many long years actually goes. But it is his time, and he's at rest now.
He really cared about the American people. That he spoke so highly of the country, and he had a lot of respect overseas from a lot of the world leaders.
And indeed, not only serving leaders, but former heads of government and state have been praising Ronald Reagan, even those who once regarded him as an enemy. His 1987 declaration to the then Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev at the Berlin Wall to tear it down was the ultimate challenge of the Cold War. But the two men went on to develop a close relationship, and Mr. Gorbachev today had this tribute.
To me, Ronald Reagan was a great president. With him, the Soviet leadership was able to commence a very difficult but a key dialogue. I value this man because he turned out to be the statesman who, despite all differences and confrontation, displayed vision, far-sightedness, and a resolve to meet us halfway in what we proposed and to establish normal relations between our countries.
The words of Mikhail Gorbachev, and reflecting on the life of the former American president, here's David McNeil, who was the BBC's Washington correspondent during the Reagan years.
I get it. Her old man.
No, there's something more to it than that. Some mystery about Cass yourself. Dr. Tower said something once. Each of us live in multiple worlds.
Ronald Reagan in the acclaimed 1942 movie King's Row. He made over 50 films, mostly playing the hero in westerns and adventure stories. People who had devoted years to politics scoffed at the idea of an actor becoming a politician. But nevertheless, he was elected governor of California in 1966 and served for 8 years. He tried and failed to win the Republican nomination for president in 1976. 4 years later, he defeated the incumbent president, Jimmy Carter.
I am not frightened by what lies ahead. And I don't believe the American people are frightened by what lies ahead.
But what lay ahead turned out to be truly frightening. 2 months after being sworn in, the president was shot and seriously wounded by John Hinckley. Mr. Reagan's cheerfulness in adversity won him many new admirers. Mr. Reagan used humor to disarm his critics and charm nearly everyone else. He could laugh at himself, It's true hard work never killed anyone, he said, but I figure why take the chance? But sometimes his jokes backfired. There was the famous occasion when he didn't realize he was being recorded as he gave a voice test before a radio broadcast.
All right, my fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Ronald Reagan came to office with only a vague understanding of foreign affairs and even less interest in the subject. He was deeply suspicious of the Soviet Union, referring to it as the evil empire. But he gradually changed his mind when he saw what Mr. Gorbachev was trying to do.
Walking together in Red Square, talking about a growing personal friendship and meeting together average citizens, realizing how much our people have in common. It was a special moment in a week of special moments. My personal impression of Mr. Gorbachev is that he is a serious man seeking serious reform.
The biggest flaw in President Reagan's makeup turned out to be his hands-off approach to the daily business of government. He was disengaged. He saw himself as responsible for setting the basic thrust and direction of government, but he would rather forget the details. When the Iran-Contra scandal broke around him, he was exposed as having been careless at best.
I take full responsibility for my own actions and for those of my administration. As angry as I may be about activities undertaken without my knowledge, I am still accountable for those activities.
Despite the scandal, which cast a long shadow over the final stages of his presidency, Ronald Reagan left office in 1989 as one of the most popular presidents of modern times. In an interview with the BBC the following year, he looked back on his presidency.
I like to feel, and I've told this to the people many times when they've praised me in some meeting or other, I've told them that all I really did was get the government out of the way, and the people did the rest.
The voice of Ronald Reagan ending that report by our former Washington correspondent David McNeil. And in his crusade against communism, Mr. Reagan found an ideological soulmate in the British Prime Minister at the time, Margaret Thatcher. She once described him as the second most important man in her life. Malcolm Rifkin was a long-serving minister in Lady Thatcher's cabinet.
By all the normal rules, Thatcher and Reagan should not have got on with each other. Margaret Thatcher famously did not have time for people who didn't understand the detail of policy. And Reagan wasn't interested in the detail. He was a broad brush man. And yet, they were ideological soulmates. They liked each other. They trusted each other. And they delivered quite a lot for the benefit of the wider world.
Did you find Ronald Reagan himself somebody who was unable to master the small detail?
I'm not sure that he was unable to. He certainly didn't involve himself in that. He saw leadership as being the need to provide the leadership from the top. He had many very able officials working under him who handled the detailed side of it. And in a sense, he was fortunate that his presidency was at a time when, although there were enormous problems to solve, they were fairly simple problems, in the sense that there was a global battle for power in between the United States and the Soviet Union, and the Soviets blinked first. George Bush has far more difficult problems because the enemy is Al-Qaeda. It's a terrorist organization. You don't know who they are, where they are, what they might do next.
You say that the Soviet Union blinked first. Margaret Thatcher has said of Ronald Reagan that he had a higher claim than any other leader to have won the Cold War for Liberty.
Yes, I think it's a fair claim because the Soviet Union was far weaker economically than anyone realized. And they had built up this huge military capability, this huge nuclear weaponry, and hoped to intimidate the United States and the wider world into accepting the Soviet leadership. Reagan was determined not to do that. He was able to demonstrate that the United States had both the will and the capability to overtake the Soviet Union. And the consequence was that the Russians overreached themselves. Their economy crumbled as a consequence. And not only did they lose the Cold War, but the very existence of the Soviet Union ceased to be available. The Soviet Union collapsed. Communism has effectively disappeared. It is a truly historic change, and it's difficult to think of anyone who made more of a contribution than Reagan to that result.
Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher had a similar ideological outlook, a similar outlook on the economies of their respective countries. Did they ever disagree?
Yes, they did. They had deep disagreements, and in a sense, very significant when you think of the relationship between Blair and Bush. Blair is constantly being referred to as Bush's poodle. Nobody ever called Margaret Thatcher Reagan's poodle. although they were very close, and he was obviously the senior partner, if she did disagree with him, by God, she let him know about it. And had, for example, over Grenada, when the Americans invaded Grenada and the West Indies, she went ballistic. She handbagged him down the telephone line, and not just on Grenada. So the relationship was a much more candid relationship, and that didn't do any damage to Britain's influence in the United States. Quite the opposite. Reagan saw her as a fighting leader, and approved of that, and I just wish Bush and Blair could have a similar relationship.
Do you think that Ronald Reagan left the world a safer place at the end of his presidency?
Yes, because although we still live in a very dangerous world, the danger is of a much lower order, and although weapons of mass destruction are still a serious problem, the kind of weapons even terrorists might have couldn't destroy the world. So we've moved into a slightly less dangerous phase, and Reagan can claim a good bit of the credit for that.
That was Malcolm Rifkind, who served as a minister in the government of the former British Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher. And later in the programme, we'll be discussing in greater depth the Reagan legacy. Did he really, as has been claimed, bring about the collapse of the Soviet Union without a single shot being fired? And are the American neoconservatives, who underpin the current Bush administration, correct when they say they've assumed his mantle? We'd also like to know what you think. Our email address, newshour@bbc.co.uk. That's newshour@bbc.co.uk. Let us know, and we'll try to put your views to our panellists. Stay with us for a summary of world news. It's coming up to 5:30 the hour. You're listening to the BBC World Service, broadcasting from London.